chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you say it, come in no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass may dab in the middle of it. Grass may dab in the middle. We are. Grass may dab in the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We've got a fine program this Saturday night for you. We're going to be starting off with an interview that Alex Jones had with General Flynn, his brother Joe Flynn, and Patrick Byrne. Oh, man, it's really full of it and full of really insightful information. Something they start off talking about the fraud, the election fraud. And then they get into this so-called insurrection on January 6th. But here we go first with this interview. Thank you for being with us this evening.
General Flynn and I stood with the president on December 18th saying what we want is to just open the ballot boxes in six places. You know, we got 3,006 counties in America. Let's just look six places. Count them on live stream TV. Well, through a bunch of fighting, we finally got to open, you know, and I didn't know that was such a crime against humanity to want to open a ballot box and look. I thought that it happened all the time. For some reason, when we wanted to do it this time, they treated it like it's a war crime. But when they want to look at audit elections, they can, you know. Anyway, so we opened it and look at we finally got one of them opened. That was Maricopa. And what do you know?
Maricopa County, Arizona.
Yeah, it took 6 months to get them to open it, and we get it open. And what do you know? The night before they finally get their arms twisted and have to deliver, they delete a million election files. Nothing else ticks or ties. There's 284,000.
Well, that was my next question. All the evidence to count in Maricopa, that proved that Trump won, and now you don't hear anything about it.
Yeah, it's like this. I've never seen such a clear suppression of the truth in the U.S. as what they did on that. Because what that audit really shows is there's 284,000 ballots they made up here and 253,000 that just appear here and 57,000 illegal and 34,000 photocopies, blah, blah. But if you count all of them, Biden wins by 10,000, which the press portrayed as, you see, the audit showed Biden won by 10,000. Well, that only worked for a little
bit.
That
was the stupidest reaction. about gaslighting.
So now that's the attorney general there has it. Other states are piling on. We're in the middle of the pylon by other states. They know it's breaking on them. They know it's breaking on them.
General, how is the empire going to strike back, though, with all this election fraud coming out? The corrupt forces aren't going to just lay on their back. Like you said, they're going to try to stop us from having a real election in a year.
Right. And I think that they're going to continue to focus on how do they maintain control or how do they get better control. So I believe that we're going to see a couple of things. I think we're going to see, I call it a controlled depression, but some type of financial, just a manipulation or a financial collapse.
And crash.
That's a separate thing. So we're going to have, I think, some type of controlled depression. I mean, we're already at 6% inflation. For us to go to 10%, I don't think these people have any problems. We're going to get there. So that's number one. I think number two, we're going to see an uptick in other aspects of the COVID. Okay, so we got the various variants. There might even be another form of a SARS that's imposed on the international system, right? The international system, because their little plan with COVID didn't work because too many people. You know, the world of the, what I call the digital warriors or the citizen journalists that are out there, they are fighting for the truth. And so the truth has been exposed about all the COVID tyranny that we are facing. So I think what we're going to see is potentially another type of virus that's imposed on the public. And I hope that that's not the case, but I've seen some indications of that in some of the statements by some of these global elite type of people. The third thing I do think that it's, you know, you mentioned sort of a cyber thing. I actually think it could be a very targeted type of a shutdown. Like this past August, I saw where the government did a test of the emergency broadcast system. And we may have shared some of it. You may have talked about that. It was in early August, and it ran for a couple of days, but they did one specific day. The government will say, oh, we do that all the time. It's routine. But this particular one was a little different. It was a little bit longer. It was done very, very specific locations. And that got my attention because the emergency broadcast system in this country is where they could shut everything down, everything, and now the government is going to tell you what you need to know. And they do that for a nuclear strike, right? If we're going to have a nuclear strike, or if we're under some sort of military threat.
They can take some of the internet.
Yeah. Oh no, they can take the entire thing. I mean, the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, works for the federal government, and the FCC.
They can send you all to one website.
Everything. I mean, everything. You'll have nothing. That's why ham radio operators of old used to be the ones that could defeat any kind of communications shutdown. So I do think that we could potentially experience that. These are the worst case scenarios. So as a guy who has served at multiple levels of intelligence and has faced our enemies and has studied our enemies, one of the things that we always have to look at is and consider is what are the worst case scenarios that we could face. And those are just a couple. There's probably some others, but this point about this controlled depression, I'm really concerned about because we are moving in that direction right now. And it's as Patrick predicted, I think in like 2008, maybe. I may have my wrong numbers wrong, but about an economic collapse of the system. Well, now they're in charge of a lot of things: media, the tech titans, the executive branch of government, the legislative branch of government of the U.S. government, and they have the globalists that are basically they're working very closely with. So now they control a lot of things, and those things now, if we say it's a controlled depression, what the hell does that mean, Flynn? That means that they're going to take the us's of the world, people like, you know, the have-nots, and they're going to crush the have-nots to a point where we further divide this country and take it over at the federal level.
Let me back up what you're saying, and I know Patrick's an expert on this, and I want both of your take on it. This is the most important issue. It's actually on my list. I'm not a rocket scientist, but I do notice patterns, and I've noticed the Davos Group, former head of the Bilderberg Group, runs it. You know, me, obviously, they're the top of the corporate food chain, run the UN, and they represent the Fortune 500. They openly brag that they're going to use cyber attacks to bring in their reset, that they're going to use a collapse in the world economy to bring in this new global currency, universal basic income. They've now announced as of a month ago that they're officially with the UN. They have the world ID now through the vaccine passport that also ties to a carbon tax passport and a social credit score. So they've got this thing all set up. And then they foreshadowed, as you know, in some of their drills, Operation Lockstep, and then SPARS 2023 that you talked about. They war game all of this, so they have a way to have the battle plans, but everybody finds it. They go, oh, that's just a drill, but really it's the battle plan, as you know. Maybe you explain this to people. And now they're battle planning, and Schwab has said the next thing will be a giant cyber attack. They're going to save us by taking over, but the cyber attack may take down the old currency. So they're already foreshadowing this. Can you speak to why they do that? And what you're saying is Schwab has said we're creating an angrier planet by creating a depression on purpose to then bring in basically globalist control.
Yeah, there is going to be a financial crash. The question is, do we emerge from the rubble as the USSA, the United Socialist States of America, or maybe we emerge as the USA stripped of the bad eye, the stuff that's really been going on since FDR that got us here? They punched some holes in the Constitution under FDR when they threatened to pack the court. And the result has been a federal government that got three times the size it should have, and we're reaching the end of that play. So the question is, are we going to emerge? I've always wondered all my life how that my father was an actuary, and that's the mathematicians under insurance. Mm-hmm. So he kind of taught me this idea of something being actuarially sound. So all my life, I've looked at these programs. I thought, how could the left not see that they're running things, that they're advocating things on an unsustainable basis? This is all going to crack eventually. And what are they thinking? Now I understand. I finally understand. They wanted it to crack. The plan was, we're going to run it until it crashes, and then we're going to merge and control out of the rubble. So our mission is to stop that. And I'm actually quite optimistic because Well, I'll be, when we get back to election fraud, I'll tell you why, because I think we're going to get some big changes soon.
I think, as opposed to my brother here, I am also optimistic like you. And the reason what makes me optimistic is the asset that we have, which is the American people. I think the American people are truly, truly waking up.
Yep.
I think actually the far left communist, people who want to go communist, in numbers, is a smaller number, way smaller number than maybe the mainstream media or people feel is out there. I actually think 70-80% of this country does not want to go in that direction.
Right.
I think the left has very much overplayed their hand. Now, will they continue to try to stuff things down our throat and do things to try to crush us? They may. They may very well do. But my opinion is, if we get through this winter, and we get moving towards the summer where we're gaining more momentum with in the exposure in Maricopa and other city and other states, by the way, and more economic malaise comes in, I think that they're going to know that their goose is cooked.
Exactly.
What they do when their goose is cooked is what I fear, and I think is what you feared.
Exactly. They wanted to have Cloward and Piven and then pose as the saviors, but if we all know they did it on purpose, it destroys them, not America.
Yeah. Go ahead, Patrick.
Well, and I think that something key has just happened yesterday and today. Mike is right. Their imposition of tyranny is coming through medical tyranny. But we have, through an open-source lawfare movement, and do you know Tori, by the way, the podcaster Tori? Anyway, there's this woman out there with this big podcast that has created an open-source lawfare movement, got 50 Supreme Court, state Supreme Court cases filed against vax mandates and mask mandates, some federal cases, Simone Gold from American Frontline Doctors, other cases. Those are actually, just in the last week, they're winning, and the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Great. Read the filing. Post that online because the judge is masterful in his filing.
And he supported the TRO that he granted a week or 10 days ago. He supported it with a blistering decision. The decision spanks. I actually felt a little bad for the other guys. It spanks them so badly for outrageous constitutional overreach. Well, the signal that federal decision sends across all the DOD and everywhere else means we've broken their momentum in that battle.
That's a big win.
And read that. I mean, and post that decision, because the judge it's when I get some time here in the next 24 hours, I'm going to go look at who that judge is, because to me that's a judge that is actually using the Constitution the way it was designed to be used. When we think about territory or sovereignty, right? We say states have sovereign rights. We have borders that have sovereign rights. Your body is a sovereign thing, right? So the tyranny, this health tyranny that is being imposed on us. So the one thing that sort of a big thing, and our founders always talked about it, but the biggest enemy of liberty is tyranny. And so when we see what is happening in our government today, You can't describe it any other way than tyranny, whether it's education, health, the illegals that are that are crossing into this country. It's the rising rates of crime. It's this allowance of tyranny to come into the fabric of America, and that is going to be – that will destroy the liberties that we cherish. And I always get accused of being a worst case guy, but that's my nature, because I've been trained like that in my military days, because I know the kind of enemies that I have faced, and these are the purest of evil. I mean, if you ever thought that evil existed, trust me, evil exists, and it exists right here at home. It exists in this country right now. So when we talk about enemies foreign and domestic, I know the enemies foreign. And now I know the enemy's domestic, and the people of this country are starting to see it. And one of those enemies is described as tyranny. And tyranny in the different branches of our government, tyranny in the kind of institutions that were created, and as Patrick just highlighted, from World War II to now, it's probably not three times the size. It's probably five times the size that our government has grown since 1950. Okay? And they can go look those numbers up. I'll bet you those numbers are accurate.
I totally agree. What about the big question for you asked me to ask about if this guy to run for president? He's handed the microphone. Why don't we do that?
Well, I can tell you that I know elements in the Republican Party who are already talking about if Trump doesn't run, it's a draft Flynn movement. There's a draft Flynn movement latent in the Republican Party, just waiting for Donald Trump to make his decision. And I think that we could not find a better president.
I'm not even gonna... a bigger bullet on my forehead. Okay, there's already one on my back.
I'm not going to say anything because I'm still his little brother, and he can smack me upside my head while I'm sitting next to him.
My dream job is going to be to go work for Mike Flynn and his brother, the chief of staff.
No, I think that the next 18 months is going to be crucial to this country, and I think that your audience, which is a great audience, and others out there, realize what's happened. And I think the people of the state of Virginia, we saw it in the state of Virginia, we saw it in New Jersey, we saw it in these local elections. They have overplayed their hand. The question is, can we take it back from them before they do something very drastic, very authoritarian, or some type of black swan event that is created in order for an authoritarian move to take place? That's what my big concern is. You talk about this kind of stuff a lot. And unfortunately, those things can happen. They can be manufactured.
That's why I think Tucker Carlson's documentary exposing false flag aspects is important.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this in the last 24 hours. If people haven't watched those documentaries, that there's three of them, there's three parts, that they need to look at and they need to watch them, because I think he did a really good job of exposing exactly what it is, this assault on our liberties. You know, if the destiny of America is to continue to be a free country, and it's a journey, right? And journey as a word kind of intends that it is a long thing. Well, the destiny of America as a free country is on a fast track towards something else. If we do not stand up for this country and stand up for our rights, stand up for our freedoms, and get involved in our communities, no more excuses, American people. No more excuses. No more finger pointing. No more saying, I don't do that political thing. People that are in business in this country, especially small businesses who have been able to sustain themselves, you know, these are the times now when you have to rise up and say, look, I'm not going to put up with that anymore. I'm going to get involved in my, as Patrick has been so adamant about, and all of us, get involved in the civic, your civic duty as an American citizen to protect not you, to protect it for the generations that are going to follow us, because our founders did an amazing job, had an amazing vision, knowing that we would be at a point like this in the future, and they protected it for the better part of 240 years. So now it's our turn to protect it for maybe another 240 years.
We're at a very historic moment.
So now we have this new variant coming in from South Africa. And General Flynn was saying that there might be some other, problem, pandemic that pops up its ugly head. It looks like this new thing coming in from South Africa is going to inject and infuse additional fear throughout the world and in the Western countries in particular. Coming up next is what Alex had to say about China and what they're really up to. And then we're going to follow that by an interview that Alex had with Roger Stone about the subpoenas that he and Roger have been subpoenaed before the January 6th committee. But first, we're going to play a short clip about Alex ranting about China. Here we go next with Alex.
China, in thousands of articles a week, is saying America's done, America's over, America's so racially divided that we will burn up and be over. And they're telling investors that, and they're telling other governments that, and they're screaming that from the rooftops and the mountaintops and the hilltops and the valleys. And who is China? They're where the globalists have invested, they're where Hollywood's invested, they're where the New World Order has set up their new system. And China owns four of the six big production houses that, if you go look at who owns the movie houses that fund all this black-on-white violence movies and Whites Are the Devil shows and all these TV shows and programs, it's the communist Chinese regime, which is the most homogeneous group of people in the world. And I'm not against the Chinese that, on average, they just want to be with Chinese. Okay, that's what you're comfortable with. It's who your mama and daddy was. It's your culture. I get it. You're not bad because most of you decide you want to stay who you are. They don't like the Koreans, they don't like the Japanese, they don't like the Russians, they like Chinese. They're the oldest culture in the world. And they get that their strength is the fact that they are unified. So they're financing with the left and paying billions a week, billions a week. There's thousands of programs every year that whites are the devil, kill them, get them. And the weak-minded buy into that to divide the country. That's all it is. And China brags. They say America's over. They will be destroyed in a race war within the next year because that's their plan. China can't launch nuclear missiles at us. We get in a war with them and destroy them. But they can release a bioweapon with the China files, Bill Gates and the globalists and the puppet President Biden they put in. So this is the takedown of America and the end of the country. So all the Justice Department lawyers and all the FBI and all of you can pretend this and say if you get Trump and get Alex Jones and, you know, get Owen Schroyer and get James O'Keefe and if you get us all, why, you'll be a real boy finally. You'll be in charge of the new America. No, they always get rid of the traitors that help bring down the country. They never leave you in place. In fact, I know after you guys have brought the country down, I'll be approached one last time to join the globalist. I know that. I'm just going to say, no, I want to leave the country. If we lose it all, and then they'll probably just kill me on the spot. But I know how this works. I know how the real elite operate, okay? You guys don't. You kiss the ass of the group taking the country down, and you're fools. You're the idiots that lower the drawbridge for the Huns to come in at midnight, and the first thing the Huns do after they capture the city is arrest you and slit your throat. You think the Huns, you think the globalists, you think the New World Order respects people that lower drawbridges on their own people? You are the curse. You are the plague, as Cicero said 2,000 plus years ago. So this article, we'll cover it later. We got a bunch of big guests on, but this is everything. Our enemies bragging how they're financing all this race crap. And I'm not stupid. I'm not going to play into it. But it's getting rough, man. I'm telling you, white folks are getting beat up, stabbed, and attacked everywhere. And the system is there trying to bring this country down. And it's so sad. We need to rally together against the globalists and restore the republic if we have any sense left in us.
We must stand up to this China attack on us. They're attacking us on many levels. And Wu Xinjiang and Xi Ping Wang up in Washington, D.C. have the Wu Xinjiang foundation. And, we'll put a click off on that for you to go in there and sign in there and help them too. But they're standing up against this regime, this communist regime in China that has been very tyrannical. Coming up next is what Alex has to say along with Roger Stone about being subpoenaed, before this committee. And Alex is saying he's going to take the fifth. His attorney, I think, is advising him of that. Anyway, this is a clip about what they think about being subpoenaed before this January 6th committee. Here we go next.
McCarthyism on steroids. The year 2021. Every major populist nationalist leader has been subpoenaed or indicted or even convicted and then pardoned by President Trump. We have the global exclusive, Roger Stone, longtime political confidant of the 45th president, and of course we know the real winner, that evidence is overwhelming now, joining us to discuss the subpoena by the United States House Select Committee on the January 6th attack, which again is the progeny of Joseph McCarthy and has gone even further. McCarthy didn't put hundreds of people in solitary confinement for 10, 11 months without even being able to have a trial. This is incredible. So Roger Stone is here to give us his exclusive take on being subpoenaed along with myself. The top story in the United States, hell, in Japan and Germany, it was all over the world yesterday, wasn't a radical black supremacist who said on Twitter and Instagram he was going to, you know, attack whites or only cowards were standing down. Whites need to be attacked as the Rittenhouse verdict. No, it wasn't 40-something people run over, five of them killed, little kids run over. It wasn't that. It was Roger Stone and Alex Jones are evil, and the January 6th committee's on their tail. And now we've gotten the subpoena. All these questions about who have we talked to, what have we done, did we ever talk to a 3%er, we want every document under the sun. And of course, if you don't comply right, you go to jail, unless you plead the fifth. And then Mark Randazza, my chief legal counsel on all the flotilla Democratic Party civil suits, is riding shotgun with us for the hour. But let's first go to Roger Stone exclusively to give us his first video statement on where he stands and what's really going on. Roger, I'm actually proud to be here with you, being targets of these people, because we're pro-America. We're not in trouble because we're bad. We're in trouble because we won't back down to evil, and we stand for freedom. Roger?
Well, Alex, you're absolutely right. This is my first national statement on any medium right here at InfoWars, just as in the hours after I was framed and charged in the Mueller witch hunt, it was InfoWars where I did my very first interview to lay out the truth of that epic struggle. And now, Alex, whether you like it or not, you're connected to me at the hip for the rest of your life. We're kind of like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. And here's the thing. Neither one of us did anything wrong. This is a politically motivated witch hunt. Let's call it Witch Hunt 2.0. I've been disparaged and smeared as the promoter of an attack on the American Capitol on January 6th, despite the fact that I wasn't there. Any assertion, claim, or implication to the contrary is categorically false. There is no evidence or any witness who can honestly come forward and say otherwise. Dustin Stockton, I don't know who that is. Jennifer Lawrence, don't know them. Taylor Bunovich, don't know who that is. So this is the same ongoing effort we've seen previously, where you criminalize constitutionally protected political activity. You know, the reason I love America is because I love free speech and the Constitution. And the Constitution guarantees us the right to freely assemble, to petition our government, and to speak freely on the issues of the day. Any activity that I engaged in on January 5th, or 6th for that matter, was constitutionally protected free speech. I know nothing about unlawful activities at the Capitol, period, full stop. There is nothing to turn over. There is nothing to testify against. It's a witch hunt. And let me finally add, the chairman of the committee has filed a civil suit against Donald Trump and therefore has proven that he is not an unbiased or honest arbiter. This gives McCarthy a bad name. McCarthy was a good guy comparing to these smear artists.
I totally agree, Roger, and we need to focus on that again, that the head of the committee has sued Trump and is going after him on a host of issues, including January 6th. How can he then be the judge over this whole political fiasco? But let me ask you the big question. Obviously, I'm not nailing you down here, but I intend to currently go with the 5th. Not that I have anything to hide, but I saw how they set you up in the whole Russiagate fraud and hoax, and how I was here when you were trying to get Assange on. He wouldn't give us the time of day. We were all bummed out about it. Then they said, oh, you were secretly running Assange and all this. I knew it was a lie because I was there. I saw them convict you in a kangaroo court. So that got my attention. I thought it was a joke back when it was happening. I said, don't worry, Roger. You've done nothing wrong. No, you were right. You said it was serious. And so I don't want to be Roger Stoned right now in this. And that's why our forebears fought the British crown and defeated them for the Fifth Amendment. And I think that's where I'm going here, because these guys have no honor. No matter what I give them or what I say, they're going to say it's a lie. So why not just Fifth Amendment?
Well, that's absolutely true. Look, we know the House Democrats leak classified information with impunity. They illegally, in my case, consorted with the special prosecutor. There's no integrity in this process. It's not an honest, unbiased contest. It's not that I've done anything wrong. I'm not going to decide what I'm going to do today, because there is a drop-dead date on the subpoena of December 17th, I believe, other than to say we have a member of the House Intelligence Committee who was sleeping with a Chinese spy. Now, he has access to national security secrets as a member of the committee. His office was penetrated by an employee who was working for that Russian spy, but they want to investigate Donald Trump and Roger Stone. This is an absurdity. We have become clickbait. I mean, that's really what this is about. I have nothing to do with this. I know nothing about it. I'm many things, Alex, but I'm not stupid. Whoever would think that trespassing at the Capitol or menacing lawmakers, even though nobody was armed, would benefit Donald Trump politically is either an idiot or an amateur.
We're going to be explaining some of these false flag operations, I guess is the way you'd have to describe them, through the processing of humanity, through alchemical processing of humanity, through public types of processes and trauma-based programming and so forth. And we're going to finish our program with that. There was an excellent article, actually a transcript also, so I can't say it wasn't an article. But Bonnie Faulkner up in California area, San Francisco, broadcasting Guns and Butters for several years. Excellent, excellent program. And she interviewed Michael Hoffman about this processing, alchemical processing of humanity. And that's very, very interesting. But we're going to first precede that with David Icke and what he talked about the five senses and how we're actually programmed. And he sort of alluded to say some kind of a hologram type of system. But next, here comes David Icke.
What's happened in human society, I've been saying this since just after the turn of the millennium, is this non-human force, which is obsessed with technology, its control, its means of control is technology. I mean, I've written that in books for ages. It's created literally a version of the Matrix. I mean, think of the Matrix movies. And it's that's the first layer of perceptual control, the first level of perceptual deception. And the body, through the five senses, is directly interacting with this matrix, which is what? It's not a construct. It's not a physical construct. It's a source of information. Now, if you go to the Matrix movies...
Hold on. Stay there, David. This is key. We're coming right back with David Icke, davidicke.com, on the secret of the Matrix, what they don't want you to know, and so much more. I'm Alex Jones. Historic broadcast today. We'll be right back on the other side. It's do or die time. Submitting is death. Submitting will destroy our children's future. You have nothing to lose but to take action. People know that now. David Icke's our guest. Really appreciate his time today. With all the push into the metaverse, the attempts to lock us down at home, make us be on Zoom, you can be surveilled when you live in the virtual reality. You can be controlled. You can be monitored. Stimulus can be added to then gauge if you're under their control. And they want to immerse children in this fantasy world to basically create artificial psychosis. And that's what David Icke was getting into. So we're talking about the agenda of the metaverse. He was explaining that it's outside programming to totally confuse the brain. Please continue, David.
Yeah, I was saying that. So if you look at the analogy in the Matrix movies of that crew being outside of the Matrix in their ship, and you take that outside of the Matrix to be prime reality beyond the human world. But then how did they enter the Matrix? They had the probe in the back of the neck, the reptilian part of the human brain, actually. And they were connected to a source of information. And that information was then decoded by the brain, which is computer-like. You give it information, it will process it, into this matrix, which they then walk around. They don't walk around it. Their bodies are still sitting in the chair with the thing in the back of the neck. Their mind experiences the reality of the matrix as if it's real, as if they're walking about. Now, I just described the world we live in. This is a virtual reality. This is why, as people like Max Tegmark at the MIT pointed out, a physicist, that the physics of virtual reality games and the physics of our reality are the same. I said just after the turn of the millennium that we lived in a simulation akin to the Matrix, and that the outer walls of it were the speed of light. Speed of light's not the fastest speed possible. That's ludicrous. It's the outer limit, certainly in the world that we're aware of, that part of the simulation anyway, of it's the speed of light. It's the limit. And back in April of this year, 20-odd years later, along came Scientific American with an article saying we live in a simulation and the limits of it are the processor speed of it is the speed of light. More and more scientists, mainstream scientists, are now coming out and saying, well, actually, when you look at the physics and you look at the way it works, it does look like it's a simulation. It is. So your simulation is your first level of disconnecting people from prime reality. Now what they want to do, and the metaverse is part of this, is add more and more technological layers to, in effect, create a simulation within a simulation within a simulation. So in the end, the human mind is so far in its perceptual state from prime reality and understanding its true nature that it's completely mesmerized and controlled. So if you look again at what they call augmented reality and virtual reality, what's happening? Same principle. So you put on the headset for virtual reality, you put on the earphones, you put on the gloves that give you touch senses, and what's happening? The five senses are receiving information from the game, the eyes, the ears, the hands, etc. And what is it? It's just codes. It's information, just like those digital codes going down the computers in the Matrix. They were seeing the Matrix, the streets and the buildings, but actually what they were looking at was codes, because that's what it is. We live in a digital.
So it's dragging us further and further and further away from higher energy levels in a trap, and they're putting us in smaller and smaller confined cages. There are many declassified military documents about using non-lethal energy weapons to manipulate the human brain and people's emotions. How does the metaverse fit into the larger military experiments about controlling the human brain and consciousness with things like 5G and the rollout of that?
Well, if I just finish this one point about the headset and the hands and the gloves, what's happening is this information is being fed to the brain. Now, if you see someone, particularly in these sophisticated virtual reality games, they may be sitting in a room like this. But they're not reacting as if they're sitting in a room like this. They're reacting as if what's being fed to the brain, which it's decoding and processing, is real. Oh, my God, I'm going to fall off a cliff. Oh, my God, I'm falling out of an aircraft. Because the brain is a computer, and it will just process whatever information you give it. So what the metaverse, therefore, is another level of immersion of human perception into cyberspace. Like I said earlier, the body is a means to get to the mind. It's the mind they want, because everything comes from mind. Even the health of the body actually comes from mind.
And think about this. You can train people to be a killer. You can train people to be a prostitute. You can train people to jump out of an airplane in a simulation and not be afraid when the real things happen. And you can condition people not to stand up in the third dimension against things that they should stand up. Just like all the violence on TV desensitizes us to violence, this is the next level of a giant brainwashing tool, just like the CIA would use with goggles and audio sensory systems in MK Ultra.
Yeah, but you think of this. You put on the headset and the earphones and the gloves and all these stuff in these sophisticated virtual reality games, okay? And they turned on and the brain starts processing that information. Okay, so where's the world that you were living in before gone, before you put the headset on? Where is it?
You just can't see it, but it's still there.
It's completely lost to you. It's not in your reality anymore, because you're reacting to the information being fed to the brain by the game.
Now have you in a false reality, a false world. They've now won.
And that's exactly what the metaverse is. When they talk about avatars, this psychopath Zuckerberg, little boy in short trousers, terrified of not doing what he's told. The idea he runs Facebook, I find hilarious. Dorsey runs Twitter. I mean, that's even more hilarious. But anyway, you are seeing him selling this idea of avatars, where basically you have a digital self in cyberspace. So what they're doing is they're pulling perception the point of perception, the point of sense of reality, further and further and further into the technologically generated world and out of the natural world beyond the simulation. And when I'm talking about the way that they're trying to disconnect five sense awareness from expanded awareness, the five senses are directly interacting with the matrix. You can symbolize them as that probe in the back of the neck in the Matrix movies. They're processing the information, giving it to the brain, and the brain is then decoding and processing the information.
And David, right on the surface, it's the evil, corrupt, big tech, big pharma pushing this on us. Just at an animal level, we should say no, knowing everything they give us is a Trojan horse nightmare. But then the documents come out of Facebook where they want to make you depressed. They want to make you alone. They want to isolate you. I mean, these people just want us dead.
Yeah, but you know what's more isolated than being in a virtual reality avatar that you start thinking is you. But the point being that they want to hold us in the five senses and only in the five senses, because that's the way we interact with the matrix. And so if you're only in the five senses, the matrix information source, which is actually waveform fields, is feeding you a reality that suits the cabal, that suits the non-human force behind this. But when you expand your awareness you're tapping into is way beyond the simulation. You're going out into prime reality when you expand your awareness.
And David, this goes to the rule of observation in quantum physics, that just being aware that there's something bigger then opens it up and you can see it, and now you've escaped them.
Yeah, but the reason that people can connect dots is because they are tapping into expanded levels of awareness outside of the simulation. The simulation is an interaction with the five senses. What do the five senses not do? They don't connect dots. They can only see a form with empty space in between. All they can see is everything apart from everything.
But it's the mind, the spirit, the connection to the infinite that's able to integrate everything in and then take it in as a totality.
Now, their worst nightmare, why they created the simulation in the first place, was to disconnect us, the awareness in the simulation, from the greater self. Because when we're in touch with the greater self, they can't manipulate us and they can't impose their will upon us and impose their perceptions on us. So what they've created is first this simulation.
David, I know you got to go, but do five more minutes to put a... Are there any exercises or just basic things people can do to break out of the matrix, or is it just observing these laws of the universe and becoming aware of the higher connections of the infinite that gets us out of this? I mean, you got it through vision, through breakthrough. Others, you'll slowly begin to see it as it gets out in the open. What are any other final pieces of advice to folks out there from David Icke on the nature of the universe and how to be free from these that want to keep us in a very limited false reality?
Right. Well, I'll come to that because there's a big one. But I just want to introduce you, Alex, to a friend of mine. I have this. This is Ethel. I have this behind me when I'm doing interviews and stuff because it's a Russian doll. And it's very symbolic, therefore, of the way the cult works in the different levels of it. But it's very, very symbolic of what we've been talking about. If you take the outer part of this Russian doll as being prime reality, and then you take it off, and there you have the simulation, smaller end. There you have the simulation. And so you take that off, and there you've got the metaverse and virtual reality within the simulation. And so it goes on until into smaller and smaller senses of reality, further and further and further from the original, so that you actually forget there is an original, and you completely forget who you are, never mind where you are.
You're in a prison that somebody else created.
Yeah, but you don't know you are. You don't know you are. So in terms of how you expand your awareness, again, everything is perception. If you perceive yourself as just a human and you self-identify with all the labels of being human and all the limitations of being human, then you will live a limited life because your perception in ways that I explain, becomes your experience reality. A little me perception of self becomes a little me life, not because you are, but because you believe you are. And what you believe, you perceive. What you perceive, you experience. It's a simple kind of, you know, cause and effect. But when you move your self-identity from I am my human labels, name and income bracket and all this stuff, my race and stuff, to I am the consciousness, all consciousness, infinite consciousness, an expression of infinite consciousness, having an experience as a human. I am eternal. I am the eternal one that's experiencing through the body, through the human vehicle. Everything changes. For a start, you lose the fear of death instantly. And if you lose the fear of death, because you know this is there is no death, this is just a short experience called human, and then we're off somewhere else, then how can you be intimidated now? How can you be intimidated by authority or uniform? I'll kill you if you don't do this. Well, do it then. I'll just go off somewhere else, mate. No problem. Go on. Off you go. It's a completely different way of looking at the world. And it takes so much of the fear out of living a human life, because the so-called biblical 70 years and 10 is just a brief experience for our consciousness, the consciousness that we are, that we will always be. And once you self-identify with that, what are you self-identifying with? You're self-identifying with an expanded sense of self.
And what you're saying is we must declare independence against the matrix and against the smaller cages they're trying to put us in, and being aware of that is the beginning of breaking free from it. David Icke, DavidIcke.com, 30-second final statement.
Yeah, when you expand your self-identity, you're expanding, actually, the amount of consciousness that you are tapping into. You start to expand beyond the prison nature of the simulation, and you start to see things you couldn't see before, and you start to tap in levels of awareness outside the simulation from which you can get inspiration and insight into what this is all about. It's what I've been doing for 30 years, and anyone can do it. It's just a choice, but it's self-identity. I am the consciousness having the experience. I'm not the experience.
Incredible.
We're going to end up our program that with David Icke. I must say this, is that he talks about the matrix and so forth and our five senses and so forth and so on. But excellent, excellent insight David Icke has. Well, coming up next is a Guns and Butter program, an interview, an excerpt of that program that Bonnie Faulkner had with Michael Hoffman. And he talked about this processing of humanity through alchemical processing of humanity, okay? And very, very interesting stuff. And we're just going to go to the end of that. When you hear the music, that'll be the end of the program. But anyway, we're going to play as much of this as we can. We're going to put up the full clip on the Guns and Butter, and we'll put up other clips on some of these and point you to Alex's site, band video, where you can listen to this whole interview with General Flynn and his brother Joe and Patrick Byrne and so forth. We might even put up, probably put up an interview that Richard Reeves had with Patrick Byrne and several other people up in Tulsa about 3 months ago when we were up there. So anyway, thank you for listening this evening. And this next is Bonnie Faulkner, Guns and Butter, interviewing Michael Hoffman, who has really good insight about the revelation of the method, etc.
Michael Hoffman, welcome.
Thank you, Bonnie. It's good to be here.
I've just read your incredible book, Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare. In the chapter, Episodic Revelation and the Lone Nut Syndrome, is an excerpt from your book that I first read in another book that strongly resonated with me. You write, quote, "The following is a statement which comes from within the British intelligence wing of the cryptocracy. Quote, this demonstrates one of our simpler methods. Realizing that our activities will sooner or later come to light, we structure our activities so that as conspiracy researchers unravel them, they will release information into the public consciousness in such a way that it mirrors our initiatory procedure. In this way, the more we are investigated, the more masses of people are psychologically processed by the very people who seek to expose us. The meme that constitutes our essential structure is then successfully mimicked within the consciousness of those who investigate us. Success can then be measured precisely to the extent that our work is exposed. When I read that, I thought, yes, that's it. I had never read such a potent description of what is going on. We could certainly spend the hour discussing this one paragraph. Where did you come across this description of what you term the method?
The revelation of the method actually comes from my mentor, James Shelby Downard. I met him in St. Petersburg, Florida in the mid-1970s, and he was a very unusual man. He walked the razor edge between genius and eccentricity, but he had a mind where he was able to see and detect patterns. And also he had a historian's mind in terms of the research that he did. And he was the one that set me on this path of the revelation of the method. He also called it must be, or the making manifest of all that is hidden. And in the sense that in the very last days, not necessarily the last days of the planet or some eschatology like that, but in the last days of this grand conspiracy, which he centered and I center also in Great Britain as a initial starting point for it, and there are many other starting points, but that's perhaps the major one. What was set in motion in terms of what we saw with the first atomic bomb blast, the creation and destruction of primordial matter at the Trinity site on the 33rd degree of north parallel latitude in New Mexico, and then the assassination of Kennedy, the killing of the King Wright in 1963, close to the 33rd degree of north parallel latitude. And then Mr. Downard added to that the revelation of the method, that the way that the system would deal with this is by first suppressing it and then letting its own critics and investigators of the phenomenon be the ones who actually emblazoned and embellished their own invulnerability, as they're very much concerned about projecting a sense that they are virtuoso criminal masterminds, which indeed they are, but they're actually invested in having that set forth because it demoralizes people and it encourages a great deal of the apathy and abulia or lack of will that we're seeing in the people today.
And what do you mean by the term cryptocracy?
That was Walter Bauer came up with that, Operation Mind Control, a seminal book, also from the 1970s, I believe. And the cryptocracy would be rule by secrets. But, of course, as they approach this terminal phase, having accomplished so many of their objectives, there's less and less a reliance on keeping secrets. Now, of course, some secrets have to be kept in the short term, but Mr. Downer talked about the cryonic process of freeze and thaw, so that initially there are secrets kept. For example, if you look at the Las Vegas shooting massacre in the fall of 2017, you see the lone nut meme that was put forth there. The U.S. media reported the next day, October 2nd, quote, police believe Paddock act alone in executing the deadliest mass shooting in modern history. Well, I'm a former reporter for the Associated Press, and that rubs my journalistic instincts wrong when I see that less than a day after the atrocity, when a thorough investigation should have just begun, police were establishing the grounds for a lone nut meme that Paddock acted alone and he certainly had no support. Although that was, even though that was implanted in the minds, less than 24 hours later, Las Vegas Sheriff Lombardo shattered it like a broken mirror, saying that he couldn't actually countenance the idea that such a extensive massacre was the work of one man. So that was telescoping the whole process into a much shorter scenario than what we saw with David Berkowitz, for example, who again repeating this pattern where they arrested the so-called Son of Sam killer in 1977 in New York City, declared him to be the lone nut who was responsible immediately after his arrest, again, when the investigation should have begun in earnest. And then later on, Maury Terry and others wrote big books about the extensive connections that David Berkowitz had, and that there was no way he could have done all of those heinous murders in the same way that Ted Kaczynski, who has been a very willing scapegoat in the process of labeling him a lone nut, and there's no way that he was solely the only Unabomber or university and airline bomber. So we see these patterns, and it's a case of taking them step by step and understanding the ultimate design here, which is the processing of humanity.
You write that, quote, the occult cryptocracy processes the group mind of the masses mainly through psychodrama. What is an example of this psychodrama?
Well, if you're a Roman Catholic who lived long enough, then you know something as the Tridentine Latin Mass, which was derogated in 1969 by Pope Paul VI. Prior to that, it was the main ritual of Catholic worshipers. And in there, you're watching a psychodrama, which I'm not suggesting is malignant, but it is one of the most, Joseph Campbell called it one of the most fantastic ritual enactments in Western civilization. And if you watch it, every gesture of the priest, whether it's his fingers, his hands, his movements, are all orchestrated, and they all have meaning and significance. And so for older Catholics who have been percipients of that from their childhood onward, I think there's a greater understanding and acceptance of what you mean by psychodrama, because what the church did with the Tridentine Latin Mass was it was able to imprint on the minds of the percipients a tremendous sense of awe and reverence for what was being enacted on that altar, apart from the truth or falsity of the dogma behind it. And by the same token, there is a power in ritual. Now, in terms of pop culture, it's been exaggerated out of all proportion, the so-called Black Mass, which is supposed to be a mirror of the Tridentine Latin Mass. However, there is some sense to that. In the reversal of that Mass and the use of gestures and symbols, which are very carefully orchestrated down to the minutest detail, the minds of people can indeed be processed. And the question I raised in Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare is, what if there is a civic magic by which a kind of open-air ritual, a kind of open-air Mass, if you will, is being conducted through these various ceremonial killings that we saw. They've tapered off the kinds of killings like Berkowitz was engaged in and the Hillside Strangler with a tremendous amount of symbolism connected to them. We haven't seen as much of that recently. We've been inundated more with these mass shootings. But nonetheless, that was the question that I asked, and I sought to answer it by looking for parallels in terms of this intricate symbolism, very carefully orchestrated, and one of the purposes of the book is to try and document that in the various cases that I enumerate.
Well, what is the alchemical process or alchemical processing?
Well, the alchemical processing would go all the way back to the medieval era. And, of course, the cover story is that it was the pursuit of base metals and turning them into gold. And that in the course of that, modern science arose and the rules of evidence arose, and that was a wonderful thing. That's the cover story. But underneath that, the esoteric reality of that is that humanity or subhumanity, because whenever you're dealing with secret societies, there's always an inner and an outer. So the inner elite are always superior to the Cowans, as the Freemasons would call them, C-O-W-A-N-S, the non-initiates. And what you have in the metaphysical alchemy is the base metal, which is base humanity, which is supposed to be against their will and without their consent, because much of the occult is about tricking people into enlightenment. Again, that's the euphemism for what I regard as deception.